I hope you find the message today to be spiritually uplifting and to fill you throughout the week. May God bless you as you listen to His Word.
Our scripture reading today is from Matthew 5, 1 through 12. When Jesus saw the crowds, He went up the mountain, and after He sat down, His disciples came to Him, and He began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." May the Lord bless the reading of His Word.
Thank you, John. I think we can agree, I hope that we can, that these blessings that Jesus presents in this scripture, they're wonderful. I mean, that really sounds like a wonderful thing, but He was then and is now talking about a world turned upside down. Honestly, you look at these, all these blessings, how much of that do you see in our world today? Wouldn't we have to turn the world basically upside down to get there? Can you imagine a world like Jesus speaks of, where there are peacemakers and people who are just as kind and wonderful as ever? And it just blows the mind to even imagine living on earth where everybody gets along. And I'm not just talking about with other nations, I'm talking about with each other. I mean, how many different ways can we be separated? We get separated by the particular church we go to, by politics, by our work, you name it. That seems the world looks more for separation than togetherness. These blessings Jesus speaks of are intended to give us a bird's eye view of God's kingdom on earth. If all of that were to happen, we would have God's kingdom on earth. And the setting that Matthew provides, notice that in this gospel, Jesus goes up the mountain, where Luke brings Him down into the valley, but He goes up on a mountain. Now, some of us may look at that and think, oh, well, that's for acoustics. He has to get up high enough so that everybody can hear Him. But honestly, I don't think Matthew's all that interested in acoustics. I think there's another reason for that. One of the reasons is, and you've heard me say this, the ancient belief was God's up there, we're here, and then there's under. But we know, because Jesus and Paul tell us, that God's in here. These things don't come down. But Matthew's writing to his audience, and his audience believe that God's word comes down to you. If you have never thought about it, Matthew has an awful lot of ways here to compare the Old Testament and the New Testament. In particular, Matthew's very intent on comparing Jesus and Moses. Do you know that? Read it from the beginning. During the time of Moses, Israel suffers under an oppressive ruler. In Jesus' time, same thing. Like Moses, Jesus' life is threatened in its earliest days. It's in Matthew that we read that Herod sends out people to kill the firstborn, just like Moses. Like Moses, Jesus, and in this case, Jesus and his family, have to flee the threat of death, just like Moses. Like Moses, Jesus also emerges out of Egypt to follow God's call to liberate the people. Matthew puts it in there for us that they fled to Egypt and then they came back. And like Moses, Jesus wanders in the wilderness and relies on God for sustenance. And like Moses at Mount Sinai, Jesus interprets and presents God's vision of a world aligned with God's concerns. That's not by accident, folks. I mean, this is, you've got Jesus and you got Moses from the Old Testament, and there are a lot of parallels. But we must keep in mind Jesus' sharing and interpreting of commandments, what we're calling blessings, is not about restrictions for an obedient life, but a guide for a life of wholeness. In this way, Jesus aligns things with God's creation and grace. So it is here that Matthew separates Jesus from Moses. Jesus wants us to see the character of our faithful God through these blessings. He's not coming down on them and saying, this is what God wants. He says, this is the world that you can have if you'll listen to my Father. And you'll be blessed if you do. When I got this illustration, I think Judge Carter will really enjoy this. And if he doesn't, nope. A Michigan judge found himself in the news because of the violation of a courtroom rule. Judge Raymond Vowett, for a long time, had a policy forbidding the use of electronic devices in his courtroom. Anyone whose phone rings aloud has it confiscated and receives a fine. Over the years, attorneys, police officers, witnesses, and spectators have broken the rule and received the punishment. During closing arguments at a trial, someone's smartphone started talking. I can't understand you. Say something like, Mom, the phone requested. It was the judge's new phone. He said, I'm guessing I bumped it. It started talking really loudly. That's an excuse, but I don't take those excuses from anyone else. I set the bar high because cell phones are a distraction and there is a very serious business going on, he said. The courtroom is a special place in the community and it needs more respect than that. During the next break in the trial, Judge Vowett held himself in contempt and paid the standard $25 fine he issues anyone who disturbs a trial. He said, judges are human. They're not above the rules. I broke the rule, and I have to live by it. Jesus is saying to live a life that is pleasing to God, we need to deal justly, both with ourselves and others. Look who the blessings are for. Look who the blessings are for as you read this list. The priority God places on justice is very high. The prophet Micah wrote, he has told you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God. Notice Matthew is clear about what Jesus is doing. He's teaching. He's not commanding. He's not getting on to people. He is teaching. That's an important thing. Jesus was a teacher. And if we listen, he says, we'll be blessed. And remember this, from Moses to Jesus, the call to live a life of holiness and righteousness is not so moralistic as much as it is a response of gratitude for God's blessings and gifts. A recognition of God's holiness. Holiness, there's a word. Interesting word. We hear it a lot in the church. Jesus tells us about holiness. Something Jesus was and is holy. Now I'm going to tell you another little story, and some of you hunters may have heard of this creature, but there is a little creature called an ermine. Have you heard of it? It's also called a stoat, short-tailed weasel, or Bonaparte weasel, and they're prized especially during the winter because their fur turns snowy white. And in that phase, hunters want them. Anyone looking for fur is going after this creature. Ermine live in the forest of northern Europe and Asia. It instinctively protects its white coat against anything that would soil it. Fur hunters take advantage of this unusual trait of the ermine. They don't set a snare to catch him, but instead they find his home, which is usually a cleft in a rock or a hollow in an old tree. They smear the entrance and interior with grime. Then the hunters set the dogs loose to find and chase the ermine. The frightened animal flees toward home, but doesn't enter because of the filth. Rather than soil his white coat, he is trapped by the dogs and captured while preserving his purity. For the ermine, purity is more precious than life. You know, Jesus could have run. He could have escaped death, but he didn't. He preserved his purity. He lived the life God intended for him. Rather than dirty himself doing what the Pharisees, Sadducees, scribes, and Sanhedrin did, which is treat their own people badly and extort money from them, Jesus gave to the people. He gave life, health, encouragement, and love. In other words, he gave blessings, and we have a list. And he continues to do so through his words that teach us and his presence that sustains us. Think about that. Purity. Not allowing anything else to mess up your white fur. I would like for us to think about this too. Verse 3, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And if we turn to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 6, verses 20 and 21, we hear, blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. That's a difference. And we can say, oh, well, you know, it's this and this. But here's what I think. Even though there is a difference, the gospel writers want us to understand that when Jesus talks about the poor, he's talking about poor in whatever way you're poor, whether it's materially, spiritually, or what else. If you're poor, God will address that. It's an interesting thing that we want to, and I've heard this argument, and honestly, even in this church, well, he meant poor in spirit. That's what Matthew says. And someone, no, it's the poor people. That's what Luke says. No, it's the poor. In whatever way you're poor. In whatever way. I believe we are not to debate intent, but understand Jesus to say there is no difference. Poor is poor. Whether materially poor or spiritually poor, there's a problem and we need to tend to it. And it's calling us to tend to this issue. Here, Jesus actually brings together the heavenly, spiritual, and the earthly, material things. And here's another thing I would like for all of us to think about and consider. Jesus tells us weakness can be powerful. Wow. Did you hear it? Peacemakers thrive in a world bent on violence, and persecution can be blessed transformation. What do you think? Does that make sense to you? How many people here think that weakness can be powerful? Jesus is turning the world upside down. Jesus is saying, if you follow my Father and you do what my Father says, you will turn the world upside down, and it'll be a better world because of it. Well, again, I'm going to put myself out there. It does make sense. If we turn the world upside down, well, yeah, you might say, but how do we do that? And I know you're going to, hey, you're talking about the world upside down and weakness can be powerful and all this stuff. How do we do that? When an American evangelist, J. Wilbur Chapman, anyone know that name, was in London, he had an opportunity to meet General Booth. Anyone remember General Booth? The man who founded the Salvation Army. Booth was past 80 years of age at the time. Chapman listened reverently as the old general spoke of the trials and the conflicts and the victories in his life. Then the American evangelist asked the general if he would disclose his secret for success. He hesitated a second, Chapman said, and I saw the tears come into his eyes and run down his cheeks. And then he said, I will tell you the secret. God has had all there was of me. There have been men with greater brains than I, men with greater opportunities, but from the day I got the poor of London on my heart and a vision of what Jesus Christ could do with the poor in London, I made up my mind God would have all of William Booth there was. And if there is anything of power in the Salvation Army today, it is because God has had all the adoration of my heart, all the power of my will, and all the influence of my life. Chapman said he went away from that meeting with General Booth knowing the greatness of a person's power is the measure of his surrender. The greatness to turn your life over, to take that step, to turn the world upside down, to be willing to allow your weakness to be your power. If we live by God's rules for living that Jesus gives us, if we can see and recognize God's holiness and integrate godliness into our lives, that is, living out God's plan for us by surrendering ourselves to God, then we will know the blessings Jesus is talking about. We will turn the world upside down. All too often, those who wish to turn the world upside down by saying something as simple as, imagine all the people living life in peace. We declare them a radical and we want to crucify them. You may think that's a song by John Lennon, but I'm going to tell you something. Jesus said it long before. Jesus said it long before that. All the people living life in peace, and they crucified him. Think about that. Who are the radicals? The people who want to live life in peace or the people who kill them for wanting it? We have these blessings, what we call the Beatitudes. And Jesus is telling us that each one of us is blessed. You're all blessed, but you got to figure out what you're going to do with that blessing. You can be powerful in your weakness. You can be a peacemaker. You can transform the world, but you've got to be willing to turn your life over to God and to follow the Beatitudes. So Jesus lays it out for us. If you don't believe it, read the Gospels. Jesus said, living life in peace, that's the goal. Let's all get together. Let's live a godly life so that peace will prevail. We won't hate each other. We won't attack each other. And we won't put people up on a cross. We should not allow things to separate us, folks. We need to have people that'll bring us together. One of the things we were talking about in Sunday school this morning, and it was a lively discussion to say the least, is being able to express yourself, your feelings, your thoughts, and not be crucified for it. It's okay to disagree. We don't all agree on the Bible. We don't all agree on how a church should work. We don't all agree on a lot of things. But that doesn't mean we have to dislike each other for it. We can live in peace. That's your view? That's great. Okay, I see it differently, but I respect the fact that you have a different view. What's wrong with that? Why does it have to be, I can't stand them, they're different? That's how you get the Son of God killed. I can't stand them. That's different. Let us be blessed. Let us be blessed as a church, be blessed as an individual, be blessed by God, and turn ourselves over to the Lord. Let us pray. Oh God, we give you thanks for every day of life. We give you thanks that we have had family members walk this earth and had the opportunity to love them and to hold them. We give you thanks for the blessings that we have of not having to go without food. The blessing of knowing that there are people in the world that are different, people we can talk to and still love. We give you thanks for this congregation, Lord. We know that we don't all agree on everything, but we ask that you give us a spirit of love, that we may love each other in spite of our differences. Be with us, guide us, and help us, for we ask this in your Son's name. Amen.
We're glad that you joined us today for this special message, and we pray that you will join us again next week as God's Word is brought to you.